I don't know about you, but every once in a while it feels good to get a feel-good story in the news. And I came across one about Evani Williams. Evani Williams works as a waitress in a Waffle House down in Lamarck, Texas. How many of you like Waffle House? Any about Waffle House? If you travel, you probably have stopped at one along the way, I'm guessing. And she was just doing her job one day when she was caught in an act of kindness in a picture, and the picture went viral, and then the story went viral as well. What we came to find out was that she was doing her job behind the counter at the Waffle House when one of her customers there said, "My hands aren't just working right today. Can you help me?" And so she stopped what she was doing. She went over to him, and one of the other customers noticed as she cut his food tenderly and just spoke with him so nicely and helped him along just to eat his meal. And she posted the picture and told the story, and suddenly there was an Evani Williams Day in Lamarck, Texas, honoring her. And not only that, but Southern Texas University offered her a $16,000 scholarship because they'd heard that she wanted to go to school and she didn't have the means to go to school. And so they put a counselor in charge of working with her and getting her acclimated. Now she has a new path. The thing I loved best about the story was her reaction. She was sort of embarrassed by all the attention that she got. And she said, "I was just doing what I would do on any other day. I was just doing what I would do." There is an element of surprise for being recognized in that parable that we have for us in the Gospels today, the sheep and the goats. And it's one that we know well. It comes at a rather climactic point in Matthew's gospel. We are right on the edge of the passion. We are at the end of chapter 25. Once we get to chapter 26, we are headed to Jerusalem. We are headed to that final week of Jesus' life. And in chapter 25, we get all of these parables about accountability and about being ready and ready to respond to God's grace. There's a parable of the wise and the foolish maidens. Be ready. You never know when the bridegroom's coming. There's a parable about talents, you know, people who are invested with a little and a little bit more and then a lot. And some of them go out and multiply those gifts and others bury them in the dirt. And then we come to this story, probably the most familiar of them all for us. We know this text, don't we? We know this story of the sheep and the goats. Because it's so familiar, it's a bit of a danger. But I want to suggest it's a dangerous parable for other reasons as well. It's dangerous because if you just do a surface reading of this story, you might come away with the impression that entrance into the kingdom of God is all about us working our way there by doing good things. And that would be a misreading of Jesus because you have to read the whole of the parables to understand the kingdom of God is far more about grace and God's first movement toward us, God's unconditional call into relationship. And then the response comes second, always second. It's never the first step. This is a gospel that calls us to respond, but it's always God's initiative that draws us into relationship. We don't earn God's favor or earn God's love. That's not what this parable is about. This parable says that those of you who have heard the good news, something's going to be expected of you. If you've heard and received this news, your lives will be different. But it's not all about us. We don't work our way into the kingdom. The second temptation is to tilt our gaze downward when we look at the least of these. There's that wonderful phrase in this scripture. You all know that phrase, right? We know the least of these. Whenever you've done this to the least of these, you've done it to me. And I have to say, for much of my ministry, that's been a positive phrase. And I've used that, I can't tell you how many times I've said that phrase and talked about our missions outreach and what we're doing. It's important that we care for the least of these. I still think that's important, and I think it's, but I want to be careful with that language a little bit. Because there can be a tendency, if you're using the language to describe those who are most vulnerable and those who are least advantaged, I think that's good language, but sometimes we use that language about the least of these, which puts them down there and somehow puts us up a little bit higher, right? And the Jesus that I know and love and serve and follow is not a Jesus of hierarchies in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, Jesus' whole ministry seems to be about doing this, kind of evening the scales and making us look into each other's eyes as brothers and sisters, not as better and worse. The problem with the phrase, like least of these, is sometimes not even intentionally, we sort of look down, and which puts us up a little bit higher. And Jesus doesn't operate that way. As a matter of fact, the call to follow Christ is always to look face to face with our brothers and sisters. And I just want to point that out. And that's why I love this version and chose this version of the reading of Scripture. Now, there are a couple of ways to fight against that reading of Scripture and to fight against that temptation to think that the kingdom of God is lopsided. And one of them is to begin to think about our relationship with each other as one of mutuality and kinship at its heart. Mutuality and kinship. What do I mean by that? You guys are going to be so tired of hearing me talk about Father Greg Boyle and his work with Homeboy Industries out in California. But I'm going to tell you another story because he's been on my heart. I've been reading his stories. I am so convicted and inspired by the work that he is doing with former gang members and the stories that he tells about transformed lives. People who suddenly discover themselves loved and live differently because of that. One of the stories I heard him tell in person at an event that I was at for Jubilee Jobs in Washington, D.C. a couple years ago, tells a story, and it's in his new book, Barking to the Choir. It's a story about Diane Keaton. Now, how many of you know Diane Keaton, the actress? Their ministry out there has, over the last 30-plus years, has gained some notoriety. There are people who know about Homeboy Industries and what they're doing and this amazing work that they're doing. So Christians and non-Christians support and fund their ministry. And so it's not uncommon to have someone like Diane Keaton come into the Homegirl Cafe, which, as Greg Boyle describes it, is a place with waitresses with attitude. Now, these are waitresses who have lived hard lives on the streets, some of them overcoming addictions and still fighting addictions, some of them having been in situations of terrible abuse that we can't even imagine, and trying to reclaim their lives as children of God. And so this waitress sees her come into the restaurant one day, starts to go over and serve her, brings her a drink, and says, I think I recognize you. And Diane Keaton, rather, you know, self-deprecatingly says, no, you know, I just have one of those faces. And they go on throughout the whole meal. The waitress kept saying, I think I know you. Have we met before? We must know each other. So that goes on the whole meal. Finally, she comes to the end of the meal, dessert. She comes out and she says, I finally figured it out. I know where we know each other. We were locked up together. Now, Diane Keaton loves to tell that story, and Father Greg loves to tell that story as well. And I love the symbolism of that, right? We are locked up together. We are in this together. We all need stories like that to sort of take us down a peg or three or five. But we also need stories like that to remember that we really are in this together. It's about mutuality and kinship. I cannot be doing well unless you are doing well too. We depend on each other. We are in this together. Father Greg puts it this way. He says, we are all a cry for help. The affection of God unfolds when there is no daylight separating us, when there's no hierarchy of better and least in the kingdom of God. When there's no separation, when we recognize our kinship, our mutuality, so that God created otherness so that we could find our way in mutuality to kinship. And I love that. And chew on that. That is the heart of the gospel, I think. That's Jesus' message. Find our way to mutuality. We are brothers and sisters, all children of God. Now, you also may have noticed in my sermon title today that I had a typo, or you may have thought I had a typo. Oh, it should have been the kingdom of God. But more and more, this language about the kingdom of God is being used. And I love it. It kind of keeps the intent of Jesus, all these parables about the kingdom of God, but an attempt to be more inclusive, because kings tend to be male, right? Queens are women, kings are male. An attempt to be more inclusive and broaden this vision. People are talking about the kingdom of God, which is God's great big mixed up crazy family of human beings. The kingdom of God, where we all have a place to belong So we are invited into this place of mutuality and respect and dignity. Everyone has a place. The scriptures call us away from that hierarchical thinking, at least this translation. The sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or feed you and thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "Whenever you did one of these things to those who are overlooked or ignored." Isn't that a wonderful twist of phrase? Doesn't that change the way of thinking? It's not the least, just the lowest, right? We've put them down there, and we're going to be so good and help them out a little bit. But anyone who is overlooked or ignored, those people who have been made to feel like they don't have a place at the table, or maybe that love has passed them by, those are the people that Christ calls us to love the most, to go out of our way to make sure they know they are part of God's kingdom, the overlooked and the ignored. Mother Teresa is famous for saying that whenever she or Sisters of Charity serve, the Sisters of the Poor serve anyone, they are always serving Jesus in disguise. Always serving Jesus in disguise. And maybe you've seen this photo mosaic. You can see it better up close. It's hard to tell on the screen. But this is a picture of the face of Christ, but it's made up of tiny images of children from all over the world. When we look into each other's eyes, we see the face of Christ. Whenever you've done it to the overlooked or the ignored, you've done it, who? To me. To me. Now you have a care card in your bulletin today. I'm going to give you just a moment to look at that, to think about that, and maybe write a response to this. Can you describe a time when you offered compassion and care to someone overlooked or ignored? It doesn't have to be big and dramatic. As a matter of fact, most of the time it's not big and dramatic. It could be at a Waffle House, right? It could be just in an ordinary day of work. It could be among friends. It doesn't have to be helping a homeless person on the street, which is the caricature we always go toward. Anybody overlooked or ignored, have you ever helped them rediscover their worth or offered them comfort or strength or solidarity or friendship? It's as simple and as hard as that. So I want you to take a moment, and if you can, if you want to, you can write that down. You can place it in the offering plate today as part of your offering. Or, if you'd like, before you leave church, you can come and just place it on the altar as your offering as well. Why don't you take a few minutes and think about that and pray over that, and then I have a couple concluding thoughts for us today. This week, as I've been reading the scripture and studying it and praying over it and thinking about what I would say to you today, I came across a new book that I just bought. It's called The Path of Compassion. And Ron Greer talks about this progression into compassion. It doesn't just come to us all at once. And so for some people, it comes very naturally, but all of us can learn the ways of compassion. He says it starts with sympathy. That is the ability to be with someone in their suffering. To be with somebody in their suffering. Empathy takes it the next step now. Empathy is to be in their suffering with them. To be in their suffering. To be right alongside of it, in the midst of. So not just with somebody, you know, a card or a note. Now you're really alongside somebody. Compassion takes those first two elements and it decides to act. It's adding action to feeling and thought and emotion. It is now an active, hands-on engagement. When we are compassionate, we get out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we reach out, we take the first step, we say, "I care." We do something tangible, right? You cut somebody's food at the counter. So we move from sympathy to empathy to compassion, to compassion. Any of you familiar with the sculptor Timothy Schmaltz? I've seen his work before, but I never remember his name. He is a bit of a controversial sculptor. He's a Christian sculptor. He's from Canada, and he's had some works that have garnered quite a bit of conversation because he does not sculpt Jesus in the most traditional ways. As a matter of fact, when he's interviewed about his art, he says, you know, if you look at the history of Christian art, most of the representations of Jesus have him embodies a physical perfection. And that's one of the ways that Jesus, he says, even when he's dying on the cross, his abs are just stunning. You know, that there, Jesus is, now that's not true of all of the art. But his art, that he's the way he has chosen to portray Jesus, gets people talking and thinking and engaging with this scripture in particular, I think. He has one of his most famous sculptures called Homeless Christ. And when he offered it to several churches, they would not receive it at first. Now it has been blessed by the Pope. It is in churches all over the world, literally internationally, all over the place. And as you can imagine, if you had that outside your church, it might spark some conversation. Might look something like this. Or you might have the school kids coming by, touching, like touching the hem of the garment, right? Wanting to get close. A later work, which is a more recent, is called The Beggar Christ. And one of the things he says about this work is to see the face of Jesus, in this case, he's sort of buried low. You have to get yourself really low to look up into his eyes, which is more than a metaphor, isn't it? You know, to see the face of Christ, we have to be willing to get really, really low. So my encouragement to all of us who would call ourselves followers of the way of Jesus, and we call ourselves that here in this church. That's part of our mission statement. We say we are going to love God with all our hearts. We're going to serve our neighbors with joy and with humility, and we are going to follow Jesus in the way that leads to life. I think that's what this parable is about. It's just being the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be. Just doing our job, so to speak. And my guess is that this week you will have lots of chances to reach out to someone who is overlooked or ignored. And I'd encourage you to take that risk and to do it. Don't think about it. Don't just stay at the feeling stage. Do something about it. Respond with grace and love and care. And don't be surprised if you hear a gentle whisper in your ear, sure looks like a sheep to me.